بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، الحمد لله، Allah has given us the tawfiq to go through this kitab and this collection of hadith and the characteristics of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah gave us the tawfiq to go through it in considerable detail, and alhamdulillah today we begin the final chapter. So we'll be covering about half of this chapter today, and then inshallah next week we should be able to complete inshallah this collection. This final chapter, as was mentioned right at the beginning as well, it finishes off after the chapter of inheritance. And this final chapter is on seeing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your dream, because that is the one connection that we still have. Of course, the whole book is full of ahadith, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the one connection that a human, that a believer, and sometimes even non-Muslims can have with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to see him in their dream. And there are some hadith about this. And there could be many reasons why Imam Tirmidhi mentioned this chapter at the end. What does he try to indicate? What is his purpose by mentioning this chapter in the end? That's quite interesting as well. Inshallah, we'll look at that. I just want to read the first few hadith of this chapter, the ones we're going to cover, so that we have the narration. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa bil isnad al-muttasil minna ila al-Imam at-Tirmidhi qala bab ma jaa fi ru'yati Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi an-nawm. وبه قال حدثنا محمد بن بشار قال حدثنا عبد الرحمن بن مهدي قال حدثنا سفيان عن أبي إسحاق عن أبي الأحوص عن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من رآني في المنام فقد رآني فإن الشيطان لا يتمثل بي. وبه قال حدثنا محمد بن بشار ومحمد بن المثنى قال حدثنا محمد بن جعفر قال حدثنا شعبة عن أبي حسين عن أبي حسين عن أبي صالح عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من رآني في المنام فقد رآني فإن الشيطان لا يتصور أو قال لا يتشبه بي. وبه قال حدثنا قتيبة بن سعيد وحدثنا خلف بن خليفة عن أبي مالك الأشجعي عن أبيه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من رآني في المنام فقد رآني. قال أبو عيسى وأبو مالك هذا هو سعد بن طارق بن أشيم، وطارق بن أشيم هو من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وقد روى عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أحاديث. قال أبو عيسى سمعت علي بن حجر يقول قال خلف بن خليفة رأيت عمرو بن حريث صاحب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنا غلام صغير. وبه قال حدثنا قتيبة بن سعيد قال حدثنا عبد الواحد بن زياد العاصم بن كليب قال حدثني أبي أنه سمع أبا هريرة رضي الله عنه يقول قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من رآني في المنام فقد رآني فإن الشيطان لا يتمثلني. قال أبي فحدثت به ابن عباس فقلت قد رأيته فذكرت الحسن بن علي فقلت شبهته به. قال ابن عباس إنه كان يشبهه. وبه قال حدثنا محمد بن بشار قال حدثنا ابن أبي عدي ومحمد بن جعفر قال حدثنا عوف بن أبي جميلة عن يزيد الفارسي وكان يكتب المصاحف قال رأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في المنام زمن ابن عباس فقلت لابن عباس إني رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في النوم. فقال ابن عباس إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يقول إن الشيطان لا يستطيع أن يتشبه بي، فمن رآني في النوم فقد رآني. هل تستطيع أن تنعت هذا الرجل الذي رأيته في النوم؟ قال نعم. أنعت لك رجلا بين الرجلين جسمه ولحمه أسمر إلى البياض أكحل العينين حسن الضحك جميل دوائل الوجه ملأت لحيته ما بين هذه إلى هذه قد ملأت نحره. قال عوف ولا أدري ما كان مع هذا النعت. فقال ابن عباس لو رأيته في اليقظة ما استطعت أن تنعته فوق هذا. قال أبو عيسى ويزيد الفارسي هو يزيد بن هرمز وهو أقدم من يزيد الرقاشي وروى يزيد الفارسي عن ابن عباس أحاديث ويزيد الرقاشي لم يدرك ابن عباس وهو يزيد بن أبان الرقاشي وهو يروي عن أنس بن مالك ويزيد الفارسي ويزيد الرقاشي كلاهما من أهل البصرة وعوف بن أبي جميلة هو عوف الأعرابي قال حدثنا أبو داود سليمان بن سلم البلخي قال حدثنا النضر بن شميل قال قال عوف الأعرابي أنا أكبر من قتادة. So this is the 55th chapter. There's 55 chapters approximately in this kitab. This is the 55th chapter on what has been related about seeing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one's dream. Now, what is a dream? A dream, we know what a dream is in terms of our experience of a dream, but how does it come about? There's some ahadith which Ibn al-Qayyim and the other ulama have related, which show that a dream, a good dream, is an angel that is sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to create these images and to show us these forms in our mind while we're sleeping. And of course then shaitan has a possibility of doing that as well. And that's why there's a distinction between a good and a bad dream. That's in general, that good dreams, they're sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through an angel, which comes and shows them to us. Now, the reason that our Imam al-Tirmidhi, he's brought this chapter at the end, following last week was the chapter of Mirath, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's inheritance. So, just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam not leaving inheritance in terms of wealth for his inheritors, as such for his children, etc., that was something very specific and a khasiyat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, dreams that show Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they have been told to be the truth and a reality and haqq, then that's also a khasiyat of his. So these are two very specific characteristics. One is that he doesn't lead mirath, but then he does come in dreams. For the entire ummah, not just for his family. And as we explained, another thing that he leaves is knowledge. The question then is, leaving this chapter right at the end, after mentioning all of his characteristics, his khuluq and his khalq, show his form, his characteristics, his features, his profile, and his akhlaq. That is what this entire book was about. His lifestyle, what he did, how he spoke, how he stood, how he sat, how he slept. This was all that we had discussed. So after looking at all of these things, the chapter on dreams comes at the end, so that if you do see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you should be able to recognize him. That okay, this is going to be the fruits of your study. And that's why for many ulama, who have taught this kitab or studied this kitab, when they got to the end and they finished this chapter, they actually did see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their dreams. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we've been on this book for more than 2 years, and mashallah, with regularity people have been coming from far and wide for this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us as well. So some have said that the reason he put this chapter at the end is not so that you could recognize him, but as a good omen, as a good sign that if I put it at the end, maybe we'll also see him at the end as well. So it's as a good sign. It's to encourage the fact that hopefully we'll see him as well. And nothing is beyond Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that is the fruits of anybody who really becomes engaged and delves into the seerah and makes that his occupation and is constantly thinking of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That eventually one day you do get to see him. If not in this world, then certainly in the hereafter. But many even get this vision in this world. The ulama mention that when your heart is connected with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam throughout your days, then that is going to be the most effective means of a possibility of seeing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because if you're constantly connected with him in your heart, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will oblige you with his vision, with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's vision. It's related in the Hilya, in the Hilyatul Awliya, from Muthanna ibn Sa'id. He says that I heard Imam Malik, rahimahullah, saying, ما بت ليلة إلا رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Never once did I sleep at night and not see Rasulullah. So it was, which day didn't he see? That was the question. But he was right there. He remained in that city. He didn't even want to go for Hajj because he didn't want to die outside the city. When I was in Hajj recently, this year, they told me that Sheikh Sa'd al-Ghamidi, who's one of the best readers in the world in terms of his balance and everything, he was brought to Medina Munawwara to read in Masjid Nabawi one Ramadan, and that was his worst year. He just couldn't stand there and read. He says, I would have had a heart attack. I just can't read. Because you're reading and the Prophet ﷺ is there. Subhanallah. So he's asking Hudhayfi and the other Imams, how do you do it? He says, until today we start, we don't know we're going to live until we make salam. It's a struggle every day, but it's an honor. Subhanallah. So Imam Malik, this is Muthanna ibn Sa'id, relates from him that he says, never once did I sleep and not see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Malik, I told you the kind of respect and honor he used to give to hadith, that if anybody came to him and they wanted a dars on fiqh, no problem, I'll give you a dars. When if they said, oh, the people have gathered for a hadith class, then he says, okay, wait a minute, he'd do a ghusl, he'll wear special clothing, put a turban and a amama on, and use lots of perfume, get a special seating arranged, and then come and teach. Not otherwise. Maulana Hussein Ahmad Madani, it's related about him that he used to use the most expensive perfume when he used to go to teach Bukhari, when he used to go to teach hadith. So people used to recognize that he's here today, because they could smell it. They could smell that he was, because he used to go on a lot of trips to give lectures. He was part of the freedom movement, or part of the whole movement at that time, the political issues that were taking place at the time. So they would know whether he's going to teach that day or not, because they could smell. One day, one of the main rulers or somebody was with him, and as he was preparing to go for dars, he says, okay, bring me the itr, bring me the fragrance. So the person brought it, and it was quite an expensive one. So this wealthy person who was sitting with him, he said he thought he's going to use a bit, it's very expensive. He noticed that it's an expensive perfume. So his khadim, his servant, he just took the whole bottle and dropped the whole thing into his hand, emptied the whole thing into his hand, and he just put that all over him. So this rich man, he's saying, what are you doing? This is expensive perfume. He said, yes, as long as Allah gives it to me, I'll use it like this for the hadith. So then this rich man, he took it upon himself. He says, okay, from now on, I'll get you one for every day. So he says, remember, I said, this is exactly what I said. If Allah gives it to me, I'll use it for the hadith. Because the Prophet ﷺ used to love tayyib as well. And it's respect for the hadith when you teach it. Then seeing him in your dream, then that gives a good sign that inshallah you'll see him in the hereafter. He won't turn his face away. At the hawd. It mentions in a hadith in Bukhari that there will be certain people who will be elevated and shown to me. And I'll be saying, these are my companions. And then they will be taken away from me. Why? Oh, because they changed. These are probably the munafiqeen. What the ulama mention is that the salihin, the arifin, those who are really have a recognition, they see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their dreams in these majestic ways. Sometimes they see him in Medina. It's like the history is being replayed for them. Medina Munawwara. He's entering Medina Munawwara in this glorious form, and these people have come outside and they're reading Tala al-Badru alayna min thaniyat al-wada' wajab al-shukru alayna ma da'a lillahi da'in. And it's like they're there. The history is being replayed to them. That's also happened for people. Now you might say, how is that possible? Well, if you've got a person who generally never lies, and then he tells you that this is what he saw in your dream, and you know in your dream you can go around the world 10 times within a few minutes, then why should you disbelieve something? It's an experience. You can't deny somebody's experience. It's not a deniable. This is not rational or irrational. This is non-rational. Because everybody knows dreams are not rational or irrational. This is something beyond that. Some people, so these people are then made
part of that, that they are also welcoming Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they're shown that scene, and they're as though they are inviting, they are welcoming Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they're reading this. Some people, they get to see him in front of the believers in jihad. You know, especially when there's a time of aggression and there's enemy around. So one of their glad tidings is that they see themselves with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they see that they are vanquishing the enemies. And the malaika, they are also, they see the angels in their dreams, and they are also there, and they're in support. Sometimes they find themselves that they are present at the Bay'atul Ridwan that took place with the Sahaba. So that's taking place, they are also there, and they also give bay'ah. Now what kind of a glad tiding is that, subhanAllah? So what comes to their mind at that time, and this is a verse that plays in their mind, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُبَايِعُونَكَ إِنَّمَا يُبَايِعُونَ اللَّهِ يَدُ اللَّهِ فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ. That those who give bay'ah to you, they give bay'ah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's hand is above their hand. So this part of history of the bay'atul ridwan is being played for them as though they're part of it. Sometimes they see themselves entering into Makkah Mukarramah in that victory, in that victorious entry, in that conquest of Makkah Mukarramah. Yawm al-Fath, with him, with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is the entire army, and the Ansar are all around him. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is on his Qaswa, which means his camel Qaswa. And he's between Abu Bakr, Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and Usayd ibn Hudayr. And he's talking to them. And you're there also in that scene. Subhanallah. Sometimes it goes beyond this world. And you are with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, standing watching him in prostration, in sajda, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment, trying to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for shafa'ah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, irfa' ra'asak. So you're there witnessing that scene, that the Prophet ﷺ is being told, raise your head, raise yourself, and you'll be given, intercede, and your intercession will be accepted. And sometimes some people have even seen themselves, and the Prophet ﷺ is now knocking on the doors of Jannah, because he said he will be the first person to enter Jannah. So they see themselves in that scene. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give us one of these signs, that's subhanAllah, that's our life made. So the first hadith of this chapter is 404, number 404, which is related from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now when you hear a hadith from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, that's a very firm hadith, because he was very particular about what he related. Not to say the others aren't firm, it's just that the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud have a special value, as with many other Sahaba as well. So he relates from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man ra'ani fil manami faqad ra'ani." The one who seen me in his dream has seen me. That's the literal translation. It could mean has really seen me, he's seen a true me, whether that be me, or a form of me, a representation of me, you know, a projection of me. Allah knows best exactly the meaning of that, because there's some ikhtilaf as to, there's about three opinions as to what you actually see. Do you actually see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his own flesh and blood? Or do you see a form of him, a projection, a reflection of him? Or do you see an example? What is it exactly? So there's some difference of opinion. But the fact is that you've seen something special. You have seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he said, فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَا يَتَمَثَّلُ بِي. Because the shaitan can't make up an example like mine. He can't represent himself as me. يَتَمَثَّل. مِثَال means an example, a sample, a reflection of some sort that depicts what the original is like. So لَا يَتَمَثَّلُ بِي. He can't represent me or put himself in my form to show that he is me. Some have said that what this hadith means, that whoever has seen me in his dream, then it's just like he's seen me in life, or that he will see me in life later, in the hereafter. Can you see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in life in this world, like awake, in a state of wakefulness? Of course, those who have seen him will obviously claim that you can see him. For those who haven't seen him, The only thing we can go by is what the ulama have mentioned. And there's a difference of opinion among the ulama about this. So you've got a number of ulama who say you can't see him in a live state because there's no proof for it, except maybe people's experiences. Although there is not absolute proof, but then there's a hadith which says that whoever sees me in his dream, he will soon see me alive. But that they say that doesn't prove that you will be seeing him in this world alive. That refers to the hereafter, because we know we will see him in the hereafter. But there is that possibility. And for those who've seen him, what they think they've seen him, then of course for them this is reality. So there are some who say you can't. And there are those who say you can. And as Ibn Abidin has mentioned both of these opinions, Mawlana Thanwi in his Nashr al-Tib fi dhikr Sayyid al-Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his beautiful seerah, he talks about seeing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the dream and so on. And he says, or yaqadatan ba'sa yaqadatan bi thabitha. And what that means is that from some people, it's also established that he could be seen alive as well. So Allah knows best. I mean, if you see him, then khalas, I mean, you've got your evidence there anyway. But we leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala otherwise. We can't deny it. That's the thing. Because in the reality of matters, it's a possibility. It's not beyond Allah to do that. But you can't insist that it has to happen, as some people do. That if you do certain salawats and you stand up, then he occurs. That is pushing it. But the fact that someone may have had that experience, you can't deny that. That's where the distinction has to be made. That if I do certain things and I stand up and make the salawat all together, that he will be there, and he has to be there, and he will come, and we'll get a sight of him. That is where it's going beyond the level of what's been related. Right. Now, the shaitan has been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's been empowered to come in many, many forms, in, you know, numerous ways and forms and depictions, whatever he wants to try to mislead. But the one thing has been blocked, that just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, shaitan has been prevented from affecting him in his life. So he said that I also have a shaitan, but my one's become a Muslim, and my one has been subdued. So likewise, when it comes to the dream, that is a no-go area for the shaitan. He can't do this. According to some ulama, he can do it in a very crude manner, which will prove that it's not the Prophet ﷺ. If you see the Prophet ﷺ in a manner that it's impossible that it's him, even though it's being told that he's the messenger, then maybe in that case, that's a possibility. So I'll explain that. So he does not have that possibility of coming to somebody in the form of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's another narration, it says, فَإِنَ الشَّيْطَانَ لَا يَتَخَيَّلُ بِي. He can't come in this, you know, he can't make you imagine that he's me. لَا يَسْتَطِيعُ أَن يَتَشَبَّهَ بِي. He can't emulate me. He can't look like me. That's another one. Now the question is, and this is something that we know from experience, because there's numerous people who've come and they said they saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they did not see him in what's being described in the books, but they saw their shaykh, or this pious person they know, or this religious person, and that religious person was saying that I am the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or not? So yes, that is. But clearly the distinction to be made is that if you see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the way that the kitabs describe his characteristics, and we should be well aware of what that is now, once we've read this kitab, then there's no need for ta'wil. There's no need for you to get an interpretation. It's clear as the light of day. However, when you see him in an unfamiliar form, something different, or you know he's there, but for example, one person came to me, a friend of mine, and he said, I saw the Prophet ﷺ from a distance, I just couldn't make him out properly. And I know Abu Bakr was there, and Umar radiallahu anhu was there. But there was something in between that was preventing me from going there. So I know that's Rasulullah, because it says so in the dream, but I was prevented by some shaitans or something from going there. That requires, anything like that requires interpretation. And the interpretation here was very clear, that yes, you've got love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but there are certain things that you're not following. there are certain sunnahs and things like that which you still have some discrepancy in, and that's why you've been prevented. It is a sign that if you, inshallah, work hard, then you'll be able to get closer. So those are the ones that need an interpretation. So it's not necessary that the shaitan, it's not necessary for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come in the form that we have read in the characteristics that we've read about him. This is as long as, that is going to be Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anybody in your dream that claims to be Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to be him, as long as there is some level of resemblance of some sort or the other. There's some kind of linkage between what you're seeing and what you think the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam should look like. Take an example. You've got somebody from your relatives, some distant relative, right, who you knew fully well. You knew him well. You knew this person very well. And then after that he left. He moved to India. He moved to another country. Disappeared for years. 15, 20 years. Or you knew, a better example is, there's a friend of yours that was in your school, in your infant school, you know, when you were 6, 7 years old. And you knew him very well. Then he disappeared, and then suddenly you meet the same person after 20, 25 years. Now he's come back, he's no longer youth, he's no longer young, he's older, hair's changed, everything's changed. Hardly recognizable. But you can tell there's some resemblance. So there is a link between who you're seeing and who's claiming to be the same person. You can tell, they've changed a lot. But there is still a connection. You can tell, yes, there's a connection. You won't have a doubt that it's him then, would you? Because you know that there's a link there. You might wait for a while and then you might have forgotten certain things. But you stay with the person for a day or so and then you'll start seeing the familiar links. Now, what about if somebody else, a total stranger, comes to you and says, I am so and so, and you just can't believe it. But he's claiming, but you can't believe it at all. You know, you have to really, would have to convince yourself that this is the case. Because there's no link. This is a total imposter. There's just no link. You just can't allow yourself to believe it from what you remember. So similarly, in your dream, if you see somebody claiming to be the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you see some familiarity, there's some goodness about it, virtue about it, then it's most likely him, but you need some kind of interpretation here to unravel the problem here, the obstacle here with you. But yes, it's Rasulullah. But if you cannot see any kind of link, and it just sounds false, somebody absolutely just claiming, which essentially means that according to this understanding of it, which the commentator is mentioning, the shaitan can claim to be him, but he can't put himself into a close enough form to be him. That's the distinction you get. So shaitan can try to mislead somebody that this is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but any true believer will say that that can't be. He looks evil. It can't be. You know, you could never see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in an evil state. It's going to be some good state, but it might not be how you see him. You might be prevented, it may be vague, it may be covered. For example, one of my teachers, he mentioned, when we were very young, he told us that he was told that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his dream, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going to come and at 5 o'clock to the wudu khala, to the wudu area. This was in Darul Uloom. And so he's waiting. Before 5 o'clock, 10 minutes or so, he goes to the wudu khana in his dream. And he's waiting. There's about 5 minutes left. And then he's waiting and waiting. And then suddenly, somebody wakes him up. You can imagine what he said to the person waking him up. Right? On another occasion, he says that, I was told that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going in that car by the main gate of the madrasa. He's in that car. So the car stops there. I'm going towards him. And before I get there, I'm woken up again. Now you might be swearing at the person who's waking you up and you might beat him up. But really it's not his fault. This is the dream world and this is a matter of tawfiq. If Allah wanted you to see him, you would have seen him. Because time works on a different dimension, on a different level in that dimension. Sometimes you could sleep for 5 minutes and you could see somebody. You could see a dream, a full dream, a full story. Live a life.
So don't blame the person who wakes you up. We have a tendency to do that. I was having such a good dream. Why did you wake me up for? It wasn't to be. And subhanAllah, sometimes you can actually go back to sleep and continue your dream. The dream world is an amazing world. You can actually go back to sleep and continue your dream. And you could see about 5 dreams within 5 minutes. 5 different stories. It's an amazing world. Right, now the question is, when you do see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what do you see? Are you seeing an example of the ruh and the spirit of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam depicted in this particular way? Is it his self, real self, flesh and blood, as he is in his grave, because anbiya are not consumed and they do not decompose in their graves? So are you seeing that individual who's coming to you in your dream? Are you seeing his ruh, or are you seeing an example of his ruh, a manifestation of his ruh, not the ruh itself? Because what the ulama mentioned, what the commentator, this Imam Jasus Maliki, is saying, is that to see the Prophet ﷺ himself, he quotes this as the first opinion. They say that to be able to see the Prophet ﷺ himself in his own flesh and blood, that would be very difficult to accept, because thousands of people could be seeing the Prophet ﷺ. It's not like you get to see him and that was, you know, you're the lucky one tonight, you got the jackpot and nobody else got it. But many, many people can see the Prophet ﷺ on the same night in different places and they see him in different forms, some tall, some shorter, some young, some see him as old, different states. So how can he come in his real flesh and blood form, bodily form, in all of these different forms or manifestations at the same time? Of course, nothing is beyond Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they say that this sounds far-fetched for him to be himself coming. Of course, it's a world that we will never know about, the real way these things work, because there's no test we could run. There's no experiments you can do. And there's no researchers we can actually send, right, to work this out. So it's not something that you're going to get out of empirical studies, you know. It's not science. So these are the possibilities, based on what the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, and looking at the reality of the way we see things. So this is how they mention these things. So they're saying that, how is it possible then that he come in all of these different forms to different people at the same time from his qabr, and yet still be at his qabr as well, in his physical form, and be able to listen to people's salam and respond, etc. So, what is most likely is that the people have actually seen, when people do see him in their dream, they're actually seeing a representation, an example, a form of his ruh. And his ruh can come in the form of his body, of his real body. Because we're talking about the ruh separate to the body here, his physical body. The ruh can take on any form it wants. So that's an absolute possibility. You can't reject that fact. That because we know we're seeing him, so there has to be some aspect of him. So it could be a depiction of his ruh in a particular way, his soul in a particular way. Again, at the end of the day, this is just academic discussion. Who cares what it is, as long as you see him? Because our belief is in that you will see him, and you will see him in reality. So at the end of the day, this should not diminish from the actual sighting, because this is just an academic discussion. You're not going to wake up and say, what did I actually see? Did I see his flesh and blood? Did I see that I saw him? Khalas, that's all I want to know. Some of the Sufis, they say that, no, he's like the sun. Just like what you got with the sun. The sun is one, but it can be seen in many different places. However, the author here, he says, وَهُوَ تَنْظِيرٌ لَا يَصِحْ, that this is using an example that is not completely accurate, because the sun is a different story. The sun is one, and people are in different places. But what you got with the dream is that people are in different places, and he's coming specifically in their dream. So it's like he's coming in, and the sun is not coming in different places. The sun is one, and he's being seen from different places. It's impossible for one person to see the sun itself in one place and the same part be seen somewhere else, because it's the rays that you're seeing, or you're seeing him, you're seeing that because
it's there. Others say that, look, just take it, take the hadith as it comes, in the sense that it says you'll see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, khalas, you'll see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's no need to delve into how and when and, you know, the description of how. So leave it as one of the mutashabihat, in a sense, one of the ambiguities that you'll never know the reality of. Now, the fact that he can be seen in other than his own characteristics, in another form of some other pious person or something, or in various different places, that means that yes, you are seeing him, but you're seeing him, but the form in which you're seeing is going to be different for different people. How, you know, logically you explain that, that's very difficult. But the form is different, but you are seeing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's like he's being manifest in different forms, although you, so you are seeing him, but you're, everybody's seeing him in a different form. Why do you see him in other than his real form, or how he's supposed to look like? It's because of some defect in our own hearts and our own behavior, our own actions, and that's why we're not powerful enough to be able to see him in that same form. So we see something else that appears to be him. And inshallah, if that clears up, then it would be fine. Shaykh al-Islam Zakariya al-Ansari, following Ibn al-Arabi's opinion, he says that when you see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his own form, then it means you are seeing him. And if for those who don't see him but see someone that pious that looks like him or says that he's him, then you are seeing an example, a representation. So that's the way they've distinguished it. So as you see, you've got three or four different ways of looking at this, which is just an academic discussion here. So if you've seen him, then you don't need a ta'wil. And if you've seen something else that tells you it's him, then you need a ta'wil. You need interpretation, because that's a representation of him. Right. Now, certain interpretations of seeing the Prophet ﷺ in your dream in different ways, what do they mean? Some ulama have mentioned that if you see the Prophet ﷺ as an older person, in advanced stage in your dream, right? Then it means that there's going to be peace in that year. There's going to be peace, relative peace. And if you see him young, then it's a time of war. Again, this doesn't have to be, this could be somebody's experience that that's how they saw it during their time. It doesn't necessarily mean it has to apply, because this is just somebody's experience again. Ibn Abi Jamrah, who also is a commentator of Bukhari, he says that whoever sees the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a good form, then it means that this represents good deen for this person, that he is good in his deen, he's excellent in his faith. And if you see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is wounded or something like that in your dream, then it represents some problem with your own deen, in your own faith and following. And he says that this is exactly the way it is. And he said the benefit of this then is to tell you that, look, you need to do more. You need to correct yourself. You need to improve and reform yourself. Right, now let's move on to the next hadith. Most of the hadith, they're very similar in their wording. Just different wordings that different sahaba used to say the same thing. So this one from Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was that whoever sees me in his dream has really seen me, because the shaitan cannot come in my form. The next hadith is related, is number 405, which is related from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, another sahabi, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever sees me in his dream, then he's really seen me, because the shaitan cannot come in my picture, my form, or la yatashabbahu bi, or cannot resemble me. So Ibn Mas'ud, Abu Hurairah, they're both saying the same thing, just using different words. The next hadith, number 406, this one is related from Abu Malik al-Asja'i. Abu Malik al-Asja'i, from his father, whose name was Tariq ibn Ashyam. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever sees me in his dream has really seen me. Again, another sahabi saying the same thing. So it means that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned this a number of times. Why? Why do you think so many people have related this? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after Fajr, used to actually turn around, sit cross-legged to the people and would say, have any of you seen a dream today? Because the truest dreams, he said, are seen at dawn, at Sahri time. So this was just after Sahri time, that's the best time to tell your dream, because it's fresh. Dreams, because they're imaginary, they're from this other world of the imagination in a sense, they're the fastest things to be forgotten as well. And that's why if you see a bad dream, just don't tell anybody, don't dwell on it, and hopefully by the end of the day you won't even remember it. As soon as you've told somebody, you've solidified it. And that's, you know, people out there who see bad dreams, men, women, especially women, they get really frightened. They are solidifying it by continuing to remember it and obsessing over it and mentioning it to others and concerned about it. The Prophet ﷺ said very clearly, if you see, good dreams are from Allah, bad dreams are from the shaitan. If you see a bad dream, read A'udhu Billah, turn around, spit to your left, like lightly, and go to sleep, seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he said, it will not harm you. Now, believe in those words of Rasulullah s.a.w. for those who are obsessed by their dreams, and it's sufficient for you. So next, Imam Tirmidhi, he decides to comment on this Abu Malik al-Ashja'i. He says, this Abu Malik al-Ashja'i, in this isnad, in this chain, he is Sa'ad ibn Tariq ibn Ashyam. And Tariq ibn Ashyam, he was the companion of Rasulullah s.a.w. who is relating this hadith. He's related a number of hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The next hadith, no, then he says, and I heard Ali ibn Hujr saying that Khalf ibn Khalifa said, I saw Amr ibn Hurayth was a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I was, while I was still a young boy, I knew this to be him to be a sahabi. This is just some comment on the isnad, right? I don't want to miss it out, because these are Imam Tirmidhi's words. He's decided to comment here, so I've mentioned it as well. The next hadith is hadith number 407, which is related from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu again. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Man ra'ani fil manami faqad ra'ani. Whoever sees me in his dream has seen me. Fa'ina shaytana la yatamathaluni. Because the shaytan cannot come in my example or my form. La yatamathalu bi la. لا يتشبهني فإن الشيطان لا يتمثل بي لا يتشبه بي. These are all different words that are used here. قال أبي يعني كليب. كليب, who's the narrator from, you see, Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه, his student was this كليب, and this is being related through his son Asim. Asim relates from Kulayb, and Kulayb from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. So when Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu mentioned this, Kulayb said, فَحَدَّثْتُ بِهِ Ibn Abbas. I went and related this hadith to Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. وَقُلْتُ, and then I added, so he must have heard this from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu sometime. Then after that, he saw a dream of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was present. He went up to him and he said, this is what Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu related to me. And قَدْ رَأَيْتُهُ, and now I've seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in my dream. Right? So I've seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَذَكَرْتُ الْحَسَنِ ibn Ali. And then I mentioned Hassan ibn Ali radiallahu anhu. So when I was telling Abdullah ibn Abbas, the next hadith will make it more clear. But essentially what's happening here is that he's telling Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, and Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu asks him, how did you see him? Explain him to me. So he says, you know, Hassan ibn Ali. Because he was young, so he was still alive. The closest person I can, Hassan ibn Ali. فَقُلْتُ شَبَّهْتُ هُو بِهِ I've seen a resemblance to Hassan ibn Ali radiallahu anhu. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, yes, إِنَّهُ كَانَ يَشْبَهُ, he did resemble him. So it's known about Hassan radiallahu anhu that he was very close looking to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He looked very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why in the riwayat of Hakim, بِسَنَدٍ جَيِّدٍ from Asim ibn Kulayb as well, he says, I said to Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, I've seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in my dream. So he said, it's like somebody comes to you and says, you know, I've seen him, so okay, explain, you know, what did you see? You want to know. Sifhu li. So I mentioned Hassan ibn Ali, and I said that he resembled him. So then Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, yes, you've definitely seen him then. You've seen him. So now this shows us that it's permissible to go and talk about your dream and ask somebody about it. But as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself said, that when you see a dream, then don't tell just anybody, especially if it's a bad dream. Don't tell anybody. Only tell an intelligent person, an alim, or somebody who loves you, because they won't make any silly comment or commentary. Because generally, if they make a commentary, it's related, and this is the strange world of dreams, that it's related that if an interpretation is given, then it becomes firm and solidified. Until then, it's suspended. So if anybody does tell you a dream, don't make a silly remark on it. Oh, it means you're going to die now. You know, just out of a joke. Don't say that. Be very careful what you say. Especially, you know, so don't just tell anybody. Okay, the next hadith here is number 408, which is related from Abu Jamila, who relates from Yazid al-Farisi. So he was Persian descent. And in this chain, it also mentions his occupation. Generally, nobody mentions occupation unless it's part of his name. But here he decided to mention his occupation. وَكَانَ يَكْتُبُ الْمَصَاحِفِ He used to be a scribe of Qurans. He used to write Mus'haf. The reason he's mentioned that is to show what an honorable person this was. Because they say that this is showing that he had barakah in his amal. Because this is one of the most halal forms of earning money, if you want to, you know, design some Quran and the writing and publish a really nice edition of the Quran and so on. And that's the commentator says that's probably why he saw this great dream. قال رأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في المنام. So this Yazid al-Farisi, he says, I saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in my dream during the time of Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه. So just like the other Sahabi Kulayb said the same thing, Asim ibn Kulayb, he said the same. This Yazid al-Farisi, he's also saying that when Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was around, I saw the dream of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I went up to him and I said to Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, I've seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my dream. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that Ibn Abbas told me that yes, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say that the shaitan doesn't have the ability to resemble me. So whoever sees me in his dream has definitely seen me. But can you tell me what he looked like? Can you tell me what you saw? Can you describe him? No, he said, can you describe this man that you saw in your dream? He just wanted to make sure he was the right person. So he said, yes. So I described to him a man, بَيْنَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ, who was between, he was of moderate stature. He was between two men, which means he was not too tall and not too short. So he was of medium stature. جِسْمُهُ وَلَحْمُهُ أَسْمَرْ إِلَى الْبَيَاضِ His body, his flesh was asmar ila al-bayad. It was reddish, leaning towards white. So it was a reddish white complexion. Akhalul aynain. Now we've read the hadith in which the Sahaba are describing the Prophet ﷺ the same way. This person wasn't a Sahabi. He's seen the Prophet ﷺ in his dream and is describing him the same way. If you recall from the first, this is Imam Tirmidhi's way of making us review and remind us of what the Sahaba said in the beginning, the first chapter. So, Asmar ila al-bayad, and then he says, Akhal al-aynayn, eyes that seem to have this kuhl applied to it naturally. And Hasan al-dihk, beautiful smile. Jameelun, handsome. Dawair al-wajh, rounded face in a sense. قَدْ مَلَأَتْ لِحْيَتَهُ مَا بَيْنَ هَذِهِ إِلَى هَذِهِ And his beard was totally encompassing from here to here. And what he meant by that, he indicated towards his ears. So essentially his beard was all the way, not just a little goatee at the bottom, right? But it was from one ear to the other. So he was full-fledged. It filled it all up, he said. And then, just in case you think it's just closely cropped and filled up like that, you know, I'm belaboring this issue here. He said, قَدْ مَلَأَتْ نَحْرَهُ So it wasn't closely cropped, it actually filled his chest area. So it was long as well. So his whole neck and everything was covered with it. Auf says, Auf is a narrator further down, who's relating this incident as a hadith, right? He says, I can't remember what else. Because look, if you look at this chain, Imam Tirmidhi relates this from Muhammad ibn Bashar, who's his teacher. He relates from Ibn Abi Adi, and Muhammad ibn Ja'far, both of them, who relate from Auf ibn Abi Jamila. And Auf ibn Jamila is the one who's relating from Yazid, who saw the dream. Right? So now this Auf, who relates from Yazid, he's saying, I can't remember if he told me any other details. I can't remember if he mentioned any other details. This is all I can remember. But Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said to him, and I think he's remembered enough details. I mean, because what we've seen from the hadith in the beginning, it's exactly this. Except that there's a bit more description about his beard here. Because I don't think any of those hadith had the same description about his beard, that it was, you know, all the way round and full. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, after hearing this description from Yazid al-Farisi, he said, لو رأيته في اليقظة ما استطعت أن تنعته فوق هذا. Had you seen him in while awake, you would not have been able to describe him any better than this. Meaning you've given such a beautiful description of what you saw in your dream, and it's so apt and so perfect and accurate that it's exactly what you would have described had you seen him alive. This is perfect, spot on. Now there's some discussion that Imam Tirmidhi has about who this Yazid al-Farisi is. See, because Yazid al-Farisi, he comes hardly, his description, he's hardly ever mentioned. So he says Yazid al-Farisi, he is Yazid ibn Hurmuz, that's his name. وَهُوَ أَقْدَمْ مِنْ يَزِيدٍ الرَّقَّاشِ. He's older, earlier than the more famous one that generally comes in chains of narration, whose name was Yazid al-Raqqashi. Yazid al-Raqqashi is always mentioned, you hardly hear a Farisi. So this one's an early one, so don't confuse the two he's saying. This Yazid al-Farisi has actually heard hadith from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, and that's why he's relating this hadith, because he met him. Whereas Yazid al-Raqqashi, so that you don't get confused with him, he came later. He was not a contemporary of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he wasn't there at the time. And this Yazid, this Raqqashi, he was Yazid ibn Aban, his name is. Yazid ibn Aban al-Raqqashi. So he's got a different name, he's a different individual. He relates from Anas ibn Malik, because Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu lived for much longer than Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu did. Anas ibn Malik was the second to last Sahaba to pass away. The last one was Abu Tufail al-Dawsi radiallahu anhu, just a few years after him, or very shortly after him. So he's just making this clarification here so nobody confuses themselves. And then he says that this Yazid al-Farisi and Yazid al-Raqqashi, they're both Basris. So there's another element that could confuse you. They're both Basri scholars, but one was earlier than the other. And this Auf ibn Abi Jamila, he is famously known as Auf al-A'rabi. So just keep that in mind, he's saying, for those who are interested in knowing these Asma'ur Rijal. So we stop here for today. And inshallah, next week will be our completion. Inshallah. Next week will be our completion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to do that. And we make a dua. Allahumma anta salam, minka salam, tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Allahumma ya hayyu ya qayyum bi rahmatika nastaghith. Allahumma ya hannan ya mannan, la ilaha illa anta subhanaka inna kunna min adh-dhalimin. لبيك اللهم ربي وسعديك صلوات الله البر الرحيم والملائكة المقربين والنبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وما سبح لك من شيء يا رب العالمين على محمد بن عبد الله خاتم النبيين وسيد المرسلين وإمام المتقين ورسول رب العالمين الشاهد البشير الداعي إليك بإذنك السراج المنير وعليه السلام. أو الله this kitab that contains the words of your messenger and the acts of your messenger and the characteristics and the beauty of your messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, allow this reading and this dars to beautify our minds and our hearts. Oh Allah, allow this to purify our hearts. And oh Allah, allow this to be a source of our closeness to your messenger and you. Oh Allah, give us the tawfiq to remember you in all states. Oh Allah, give every part of our body the ability to remember you. Oh Allah, have your dhikr emanate from every part of our body and every pore of our body and every fiber of our existence. Oh Allah, allow us to be submerged in your dhikr and to be
Allah, to be close to you so that we begin to love you even more than we love you right now. Oh Allah, grant us the love of your messenger and the love of his sunnah so that we follow it with full conviction regardless of what anybody may say to us. Oh Allah, grant us the tawfiq to worship you in the way that your awliya worship you. Oh Allah, in the way that you love. Oh Allah, make all of our actions conducive to your desire. Oh Allah, make all actions that we do pleasurable to you and that you're satisfied with them. Oh Allah, make those actions close to our hearts and beautiful to our hearts that satisfy you and that please you. And those actions that we do and that we may be engaged in that are of despicable nature, that are of the haram, that are of the makruhat, that are of the reprehensible acts. Oh Allah, make those hated in our hearts. Make those hated in our minds so that we can more easily avoid them. Oh Allah, it's always a struggle for us. But you know, we know your mercy is great. And that's why we know that when even the worst of us prostrates and bows down in front of anybody, it's going to be in front of you. Oh Allah, that means that you know that we love you and that that's who we worship. We're sitting at this time in this masjid, and those who are sitting at home and listening, who spent this time of this Friday evening to the words of your messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Oh Allah, we're not doing this in vain. Oh Allah, we may have whatever intention, but oh Allah, outwardly we're here, we're listening. Oh Allah, accept us. Oh Allah, give us full sincerity. Oh Allah, give us full conviction in our hearts. Oh Allah, enter us all into Jannatul Firdaus. Oh Allah, grant us your love and the love of those who love you. Oh Allah, grant us good company in this world and good company in the hereafter, in the company of your messengers and your shuhada and your siddiqeen in Jannatul Firdaus. Oh Allah, grant us the kalima on our deathbed. Oh Allah, grant us the kalima as the last thing that we leave with in this world. Oh Allah, grant us the best of our days and the most pleasurable of our days, the days that we stand in front of you and we are able to respond in a way that makes you happy and that we know you're happy with us. Oh Allah, grant us your happiness in this world. Oh Allah, grant us your pleasure in this world. And oh Allah, allow us to be pleased with you and pleased with all the good deeds that you have told us to and you have ordered us to do. Oh Allah, bless the authors of this book. Oh Allah, all the narrators that we've taken their name in and who've been means of conveying these ahadith to us over the centuries. And all those who've helped to publish these books and who've allowed it to come to us. All those who have been instrumental in conveying this deen to us, starting from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then all the way down to the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, and then those that came after them until our times. And oh Allah, make us also the means of disseminating the deen to others. Make us guides of those who are guided. Oh Allah, make us also part of, we've read all of these names of all of these narrators. Oh Allah, make us also conveyors of your deen to the muttaqeen. Oh Allah, make us worthy of this. Oh Allah, make us worthy of this and make us remembered for the good things that we do. Allow us to do good actions and accepted for the service of your deen so that people will remember us with good du'as. Oh Allah, allow us all to leave good marks in this world, both in terms of our own accomplishments in the forms of our and in the form of our progeny and our children. Oh Allah, accept from us all and protect us all and protect all the Muslims around the world. Oh Allah, bring back stability among humanity. Oh Allah, make us worthy. Oh Allah, allow us to rectify ourselves before our death comes. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.